Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Political Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right. Hey, welcome. Another good Thursday here. Y'all know who I am. I got my sidekick over there hanging out.
Mary.
Beth.
Good evening.
She's always got to have that. What's up with that deep good evening?
I was just feeling sort of Halloween-y.
Breathy. All right, you know what time it is. It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
And so it is. Tonight's reading is The Great Priority. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. That's from Luke 11:17 through 19. We have a divided church. There is contention about water baptism, salvation, tithing, free will, prophecy, and hundreds of other issues. Doctrines divide Christians when we get our eyes off our goal to seek and save the lost. Sound doctrine is essential to the life of any church, but it shouldn't overshadow the Great Commission. Firefighters should be fighting fires, not each other. If they let people burn because they're arguing, they are betrayers of their profession. When the siren of an emergency vehicle sounds, all other traffic must pull over to let it through. So it should be with the emergency vehicle of evangelism. Tonight's soul search is, do I give the task of reaching the lost its necessary priority? And the prayer is, Father, help us to be unified in the evangelistic endeavor.
Very good. Wow. I must say your reading tonight, that Hooked on Phonics tape I got for you after last week, I mean, it really worked for you.
Thank you so, so much.
I had to do it. I had to do it.
And I did it without my glasses.
That's amazing.
I know.
You know, tonight, a little bit later on, we're going to be diving in a little bit more. You know, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about, you know, growing in Christ. We've been talking about, you know, extending our faith. We've been going through almost a series that's not really intentionally a series. It's just kind of working out that way. And tonight, I kind of want to continue that trend with, you know, living in God's Word and growing your life with God. You know, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It will set you free, comfort you, heal you, and feed your soul. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then I kind of ran across a really cool saying that I've never heard before. And the author of this is actually listed as unknown, but it speaks volumes. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything.
I like that too.
I mean, it's so small and simple, yet makes a very bold statement.
Well, you know, as you know, I've been having a rough week this week.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes I just feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And a lot of people feel overwhelmed. You know, I'm, in my case, it's because I've had a lot of extra responsibility in my job put on me. And, you know, we've got some issues here at home. Nothing serious, but just, you know, we've got some issues and it's just stressful. And
not with us.
No, issues. Not with us. We're fine. But I found myself having conversations with God and talking to God more. And there is actually someone on LinkedIn who is a military special forces person, and I have started following him on LinkedIn because he posts the most personal quotes and things that are about answering those unasked questions that people have that run through their heads, you know, like, just because, you know, it'll be like, just hold on, drop your problems in prayer to me, and I'll pick them up and carry them for you.
Yep.
So that you can be free. And it's like, I needed to see that today. I needed to read that today. And so I like, he posts several things every day, and I like to just kind of check back a few times a day and see what he's posted, because I think there is a reason why I see those things. And the ones that I do see are the ones that I think affect me personally. So I think that in that respect, I am starting to grow in that way, because when I start to get stressed out, I get really anxious and just want to throw up my hands. And I take a breath and I'm like, God, I need your intervention with this. You know, this is what's going on. And I just feel so powerless and, you know, uncomfortable and anxious and bad. And it's like the minute I do that, I feel lighter somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, for me, that's an awesome thing. And I'm starting to do that more often. I'm starting to kind of take a beat and, you know, try to calm myself down and be like, it's going to be okay.
Yep, definitely.
So I can certainly attest to growing in my relationship.
Definitely. You ready to dig in a little bit?
Oh, heck yeah.
You know what time it is?
Well, I was going to say time to get ill, you know, kind of Beastie Boys, but...
Politics. Current events. What's going on in the Christian world? It's time for the news. That's right. Time for the news.
So it could actually be time to get ill. It kind of depends on your perspective, I guess.
Depends on your perspective of things. You know, me and following the news channels and not necessarily all the mainstream news channels. I watch a lot of the Christian news channels. And one of the things that kind of struck me and touched my heart, Afghanistan's children are asking, is Jesus here now?
Okay.
And, you know, in the arena of fear, the children of Kabul are asking a remarkable question. Is Jesus here now? Can we meet him? And in their presentation, tribulation, the children and young of the shell-shocked nation are looking for hope, and they're turning to perhaps their only connection with the outside world, satellite television and social media. And as the Taliban's reportedly going door-to-door hunting Christians, many might suggest now is not the time to be caught speaking the name of Jesus over there. But Afghanistan's children can't stop talking about them, and that says volumes.
Sure does. I read something about the Taliban myself today, and it was saying that they're going back to, you know, they were supposed to be a more, here go my air quotes, progressive
mm-hmm.
Taliban, right? More inclusive, all that kind of stuff. But apparently, you know, I don't really know who had the wool pulled over their eyes with this one, but they're going back to executions, beheadings, all those kinds of things. And, you know, the question is how can our government even think to deal with such an irrational group of people?
Definitely. And one of the things that touched me so much about this was the actual story of what the children are saying. They're saying, although Christians have been forced into hiding, the children of Afghanistan, the future of the nation, are certainly not hiding their curiosity about Jesus. asking questions about where is Jesus? Can we see him? Do you have him there in the studio? Because the media ministry I serve is broadcasting live Christian programs into Afghanistan 24/7, free of charge. And the signal is virtually uncensorable, covers the entire nation, including mountains, rural areas, and isolated villages. Anywhere people have a satellite dish, they can tune in the Sat-7 message. And they're asking if they have Jesus in the studio, and these are sincere questions they ask using their phone apps to call or message their team there at Sat-7, and they're ready to respond day or night. They said a 16-year-old girl told them that people are terrified here. Please help us. And one of the people at Sat-7 says, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear these Afghan children quoting Jesus' words by heart, creating their own worship songs, and using them to deal with the intense fear they're going through.
You know, it's amazing because it's like any other time that people are under duress. You know, when they are frightened, when they are devastated, when they are fearful, that is when you start to see the surge of people turning back to God. And I mean, it's amazing and it's wonderful. And these children, you know, their questions are so innocent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I guess if they're beginning their exploration of this, it's kind of hard to explain, yes, Jesus is there. Jesus is in the studio. Jesus is available to everyone. You know, he hears everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows the pain you're in.
Well, you want to know something interesting about the word Taliban? You know what it actually means?
Is it from the Greek?
No. You know what it actually means?
No.
It actually means student. And in that case, Afghans' children are actually seeking to become courage-filled students of Christ. And that is awesome and amazing.
Sure is.
You know, it's...
It makes me wish I could talk to them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is another one of those things that we need to do, and definitely praying for those children over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just different things going on around the world. There's some interesting little stories that's popped up out of the UK, and some interesting stories that are popping up out of China and Taiwan as well. There was a veteran Christian nurse is suing her UK employer for discrimination. She was treated like a criminal for wearing a cross. A Christian nurse in the United Kingdom has sued her former employer, alleging she was intimidated and forced out of her job because she wore a cross on a necklace while at work. Let's see, she claims she faced a campaign by her bosses at Croydon University Hospital in South London to make her remove or cover up the small gold symbol. She brought a legal challenge against the Croydon Health Services and HS Trust on the grounds of harassment, victimization, direct and indirect discrimination, and constructive unfair dismissal. So this is a legal process that's going on now. This was 6 years ago. She was told by her managers to remove the cross or face disciplinary action. And all this is now just coming to light and coming into court sessions. Mm-hmm. Over 6 years ago.
Right.
That's pretty crazy.
It is, because, I mean, I don't know what the difference in country to country is and what their, you know, harassment laws involve. But, you know, here, if you were being harassed based on your religion, I mean, you automatically would have a case.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And it makes you kind of wonder, you know, that split between, like, religion and science. And it makes you wonder if that is the tack they were trying to take, you know, like, there are people, of course, that are atheists because they believe in science more than they believe and have faith.
Yep.
And so that makes me wonder if the people that she worked for were, I mean, not that it excuses it in any way, but at least it would be a position.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. It you know, I can't see 6 years ago why they would have, you know, even been doing that. I just don't get it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, I mean, maybe that was the position they were taking was, you know, we are science and, you know, we are what is curing illness, you know, this kind of thing. And, but still it shouldn't have been an issue because those are her personal beliefs.
Well, you ever been in the doctor's office and seen the picture on the wall of, you know, the doctor sitting there treating a patient and Jesus is standing beside him with his hand on his shoulder?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. Where do you think you get the knowledge from? Where do you think, you know, all these things are not attainable by yourself?
Right. And I mean, you look at it in terms of where do you think your inspiration comes from?
Definitely. So another interesting story that popped up on the Christian news, and I have not heard about this, and I don't know if you have in some of your crossings, you know, the question is invasion coming. China rattles Taiwan with 149 warplanes.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah, that's pretty, you know, China's military, they flew another 56 fighter planes towards the independent country on Taiwan on Monday. And then the continuing 3 days of sustained military harassment. It's led the U.S. State Department expressing concerns about communist regime violating Taiwan's airspace with military aircraft.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting because I don't know because so much stuff changes as far as those countries that, you know, have had like provinces and so on and so forth. But is Taiwan no longer part of the Republic of China?
No, the Taiwan now is it's a self-ruled island now.
Okay.
And so basically they're saying they're very concerned by the People's Republic of China's provocative military activity near Taiwan, which is destabilizing, risk miscalculations, and undermines regional peace and stability. We urge Beijing to cease its military, diplomatic, and economic pressure and coercion against Taiwan. So we remain concerned by the People's Republic of China's, you know, military activity, and it's destabilizing the area. And that's what destabilizing risk miscalculations that undermines regional peace and stability. That's what Jen Psaki had to say about it.
Oh, Miss Circleback.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did see that because it did make it to mainstream news. And by mainstream, I don't mean like NBC kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the question then became, well, what is going to be the United States response? You know, is Biden going to stand up to China to defend Taiwan?
That's what this story said. It said, we know that China is testing the Biden administration because after the fall of Afghanistan, they said that they were going to go after Taiwan and the U.S. wasn't going to do anything about it. I think it's what the leaders in Beijing think. So this is an exceedingly dangerous situation here.
Yeah, it is because I dare say that, you know, if President Trump were still in office, first of all, none of this would be an issue because he was a very strong opponent in the world, you know, as the United States and, you know, the leader of the free world. And I just find it very interesting, although predictable, that because we have a weak, you know, head of state, that this is happening. You know, I mean, it's not just China.
Nope.
It's Russia too. You know, Russia's trying to start moving into different areas so that they can be in a better place to, I guess, threaten the United States. And of course, you know, Korea and all of that. That's a powder keg still.
Oh yeah.
And definitely. You know, it's not just their leader that is, you know, trying to light the fuse in North Korea. It's everybody that's of a communist regime.
Definitely. I mean, that's another thing that we need to pray for. Pray for things that are going on over there.
And I mean, it's all about looking at the shiny objects so you don't see these things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, distract. It's the mainstream media that's really working with the White House machine,
mm-hmm,
and attempting to divert your attention from all of the things that are going on that are extreme shortcomings and that could really put lives and countries and governments in true danger.
Well, here's something that is definitely putting lives in danger. And we've talked about it before, everything that's going on the border and with the seemingly we're open sign still hanging. No real control there. Yeah. So there's another, and I have not heard this one on any mainstream news, but they're speaking of murder, forced cannibalism,
ew,
extortion for the U.S.-bound migrants held for ransom by satanic gangs in Mexico.
Oh, my. Oh.
Yep, they're saying relatives of Central American migrants are sharing stories about their family members being kidnapped and held for ransom in Mexico as they tried to make their way to the U.S.-Mexican border.
Does that make any sense? Because, I mean, if these people had a dime to rub together with another dime, you know, why would they be trying to get here?
I don't know. They're saying, according to NBC News, Noticias Telemundo investigator interviewed 32 migrants kidnapped from 2019 to 2021 in Mexico and the U.S. Their relatives had to pay sometimes up to $5,000 in ransom for each migrant to several different cartels and other criminal organizations.
Oh, that explains a lot.
They're saying oftentimes smugglers who have already been paid thousands of dollars by families to help their loved ones to the border double-cross relatives already in the U.S. by turning the migrants over to criminals. And family members then receive telephone calls from these kidnappers warning they must send them money within a set time in order to see their loved ones. To get the needed funds, family members had to sell their vehicles or other personal property, drain their savings account, went into debt, you know, borrowing from other family members and friends in order to get this money. The kidnapped victims were treated horribly while being held in cartels and were only fed once a day. The migrants whose family did not pay the ransom were murdered in front of the other captives.
And clearly fed to them?
Yeah. Let's see. He said one man identified who told the story about how he and his daughter were kidnapped said the bodies of victims were then cut up, cooked, and human meat was served to the remaining migrants.
Oh, that makes me physically ill.
So there would be no trace of anything.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is what they had to eat. They said with a machete, they dismembered people, killed them, he recounted, and the only thing they could do was cover his daughter's eyes and ears so she would not know what was happening.
Ugh. Oh.
And they spoke about satanic rituals that the kidnappers performed at night. They knelt down and held images of the devil, of Santa Muerte. They made pleas, they made offerings, and it was something horrible, they said.
Well, that being said, what was that story you were telling me yesterday about Tybee Island?
Tybee Island, they said that they have found...
Now, for those people who don't live here, tell them where Tybee Island is.
Tybee Island is actually off the coast of Georgia. It's a small island that's off of... It's a little bit below Savannah. Mm-hmm. In that area, definitely. And
it's very popular for families to go there.
Yeah, it's very popular, but they said that they found decapitated chickens and cups of blood and things like that. I was like, oh my, what is going on in this world? You know,
I don't know, but you can definitely tell that Satan is at work with some people and doing a heck of a job.
Very, very alive. You know, people just need to realize what's going on around them and what's going on around the world. You know, it's not just here that these crazy things happen. It's everywhere.
No, and you know, for those of us that have the faith, we should be wearing that faith like a warm blanket because it's there to protect us. I mean, it is the golden light that protects us from all of these horrible things, because, you know, I look at things that happen to people just on a regular day-to-day basis, you know, people that are in car accidents or people that are in, you know, construction accidents or whatever the case may be, you know, things that happen where they shoulda, coulda died, but somehow, you know, even if they've been horribly injured, you know, it manages to like miss a major artery or miss a major organ by like millimeters, and they live. And that has to be meaningful.
Very.
I mean, you just think about the crazy things that can happen to you just on a day-to-day basis. I mean, you could slip and fall. I once had a neighbor, and she had a slip and fall and hit her head on like the doorknob and wound up dying later that night because she wound up having a brain bleed. But who would have thought? You know, something that ridiculous would take your life.
Yep. Definitely. And anything can happen at any moment's notice. I mean, it's strange.
That's right.
Hey, here's an interesting thing that happened this week. You know, the blackout with Facebook.
Oh, my goodness. I bet people were flipping out. I mean, just completely flipping out.
Well, you know, it's funny that they had that whistleblower, you know, where she was saying Facebook knowingly marketed dangerous content regarding eating disorders and self-harm to kids. 66% of teen girls and 40% of teen boys, as an example.
Of course. Of course. And, you know, the fact that any of this, and I'm so glad this woman came forward. I mean, I could not be more impressed that somebody finally came out against Mark Zuckerberg and kind of put the feet to the fire. Now, you know what I heard about the blackout was he was erasing algorithms.
Yeah, and then they said that a maintenance in the database caused everything to go off. You don't lose all three platforms. You're not running all three platforms on one server.
And what we're talking about as far as the platforms that went out were Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And they're all run by the same people. And, you know, I mean, I showed you that meme that I saw on Facebook after the fact that was like, you know, with Facebook having the blackout, they were going door to door showing people their dinner.
You know, it's sad too, because over the last several days on Facebook, I've seen some things that have really made my head turn on. And I told you about this, where, you know, they were talking to, there was something on the news about redesigning the American flag and all this stuff and putting different things in it. And this one person turned around and said, that's it. You know, Satan's here. They're trying to change everything. They're trying to change America. And this person was quoting scriptures from Luke. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Well, okay, you're quoting scripture from Luke, but have you ever looked in the book of Revelation?
Right, and it's like you always say, is don't add. Yeah. Don't take the things that are in the Bible out of context, because when you do that, I mean, I'm sure that any point you're trying to prove, if you go in and you just pick up this little piece of scripture and that little piece of scripture, mm-hmm. you could prove anything by that. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah, they were trying to express the fact that the Antichrist was being revealed. The Antichrist is not revealed until the midway point of the tribulation, at which point we know that the Antichrist has not been revealed yet and the mark is not going on, because the church hasn't been raptured. And if you think you're here and the church has already been raptured, then that's even more important that you should be trusting and believing and growing in Christ.
I know. I still think it's Bill Gates. I mean, I think they're going to cryogenically freeze Bill Gates, and he's coming back.
Well, you know, with all the things that we've been talking about, you know, especially dealing with that, I mean, growing in the Word and learning is the only way that you're going to really know. And there's some things tonight that I want everybody to think about while I go over some of these things, but I want you to think about it too, because there's some things in here. I keep telling you every week there's something in here that's going to speak to you, and it's relative. And there's some things in here that's going to speak to a lot of people tonight, I feel like. And putting this together, it started to speak to me so clearly, you know, that this is where we were being led to tonight.
Did you speak to our friend of the show, Skylar?
Oh, yes. You know I always speak to Skylar.
And was it speaking to him?
Oh, yeah. He, after I'd read him, kind of like went through the preface of everything with him the other night, man, he ran straight to the prayer closet.
Oh, my goodness.
He said that he was, I mean, this was Monday when we were talking about this, mm-hmm. and he said he felt it heavy, you know. So I hope that everybody out there listening tonight, or everybody listening later on podcast, you know, get that same feeling and feel the same way. So kind of where I'm going to this is living in God's Word and growing. And a newborn baby, if we think about that, has so much to learn in order to thrive and grow. From the moment they're born, babies begin the lifelong process of learning and discovering the world around them, right? Mm-hmm. So in the same way, when you began your new life in Christ, there's so many things you didn't know about living a Christian life. There are many things you needed to learn in order to grow in faith. So, however, newborn Christians aren't the only ones who need to grow. Even longtime believers must maintain a passionate commitment to keep growing in intimacy with the Lord. So, in fact, according to medical science, we're going to speak about air quotes medical science here, once a living organism stops growing, it begins to die. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we need to look to the Apostle Paul. Even the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, spoke of wanting to know the Lord. Surely he, of all people, knew the Lord, but he longed for a deeper, more intimate relationship. And let's look at what he said. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:7-14. So I want to ask, does your heart cry out to know him more? Do you want what Paul wanted? you're not alone if you answered yes. Even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, displayed a fervent desire to learn the Scriptures, gain wisdom, and grow spiritually. So will you make the choice? Jesus didn't assume that spiritual growth would come automatically. Even to him, it's written that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, Luke 2:52. So have you made or will you make a similar choice as Jesus? Will you decide to make a choice to learn everything possible about God's Word? God's will is that you never stop growing. No matter how mature or immature you may feel in your spiritual life right now, the Lord is beckoning you to a great adventure of ever-increasing intimacy with Him. So no matter what you're experiencing right now, financial insecurity, marital problems, temptation, health concerns, or more, you can leave these problems behind when you choose to live in His Word. The Bible tells us that in Christ we have an abundant life available, actually waiting for us. This kind of life is the best one there is. It's life how God designed it to be. If we want to live the life that God wants for us, we've got to follow His instructions for living. Do you want to live the life that God has prepared for you? If you do, here's some things that you'll need. You'll need an abundant life. Here are three important things that we need to live the life God wants for us. The first one is submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said He came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, from John 10:10. There's only one way to get to the right to receive that kind of life, though, by repenting and submitting to Jesus Christ, making Him Lord of our lives. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that in Christ we're blessed with all the blessings for abundant life that Jesus promised. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The only way for us to receive these blessings is by submitting to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the second is obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to obey the Lord Jesus. If we want an abundant life, He promises, we've got to obey His commandments. The abundant life that God promises is not always one that is rich with money. Fact is, something we should learn to money is something we should learn to subdue as we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. He Himself said it in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So now that we've got that sorted out, we've got to learn to deny ourselves and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And that's from Matthew 16:24-25. Following the Lord Jesus Christ requires that we obey His words. This is proof of our submission and love to Him. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. As we obey Him, we're assured of success in God's will. Joshua 1:8 tells us, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So the third is fellowship in the Holy Spirit. The life that God wants for us to live is a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, not the flesh, As such, we, you know, we have got to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. The great thing here is that the Holy Spirit lives in all who believe in Christ and have submitted to his lordship. In him, you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:13-14. So there's freedom for all who live in the Spirit of God as made available to us by Christ Jesus after his death and resurrection. Romans 8:2-6 tells us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So such is the life that God wants for us, a life focused on his goodness and love, and a life geared towards Christ likeness. As God's children, we ought to live a life pleasing to him. This we do in faith as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, holiness is not only a possibility for the Christian. Holiness is a requirement. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. From Hebrews 12:14. The difference between God and us is that he is inherently holy, while we, on the other hand, only become holy in relationship to Christ, and we only increase in practical holiness as we mature spiritually. The New Testament emphasizes the pursuit of holiness in this world and the final attainment of holiness in the world to come. Which brings me to a question. Is being holy even possible since only God is holy? To be holy means that we are, first of all, set apart for honorable use. Whereas we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slave to various passions and pleasures, God, our Savior, saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Lord took the initiative to pull us out of our former lifestyles. He saved us, cleansed us, and set us apart for righteousness. If we have believed in Christ for salvation, we have been washed by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and set apart from the world for godliness. So, however, the pursuit of holiness does not end when we come to Christ. In fact, it just begins. There's a positional holiness that we inherit at regeneration of a practical holiness, which we must actively pursue. God expects us to cultivate a lifestyle of holiness and commands us to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear of God. Bringing holiness to perfection means that we should be increasing in spiritual fruitfulness every day. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin, refusing to revert back to our former lifestyles. In this way, we cleanse ourselves from what is dishonorable, becoming vessels for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the Master for every good work. Holiness is the mark of every true Christian. cultivating a lifestyle of holiness does not mean we must draft a list of do's and don'ts to live by. We are free from the letter of the law, which kills, and now live according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. We're told, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's from Philippians 2, 12 and 13. In this verse, we see cooperation between God and his children in sanctification. We, quote unquote, work out what God works in us, because God has a timeline for the virtues that he wishes to cultivate in our lives. Our responsibility is to yield to his wishes, working out with focused attention and great care those things that he is causing us to grow in. Holiness will not be brought to completion in our lives with no effort on our part. We are invited to participate in God's work in us. We will not be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, as the old hymn says. You know, this is perhaps the most important lesson that we can learn as Christians. God's ultimate desire for his people is that we be holy, conformed into the image of his son, Jesus, from Romans 8:29, and then 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and 4. Holiness is the will of God for our lives. Of course, the flesh is weak, from Mark 14:38. None of us will reach sinless perfection in this world, but God has made provisions for our sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Our pursuit of holiness in this world includes daily confessing of forsaking sin. And you can find more on that from Hebrews 12:1 through 3. God helps us in our weakness by giving us his Holy Spirit, who reveals the mind of Christ to us and enables us to carry out his will. From 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16 and Philippians 2:13. When we yield to the Spirit, we become fruit-bearing Christians, yielding a harvest with which God is well pleased. From Galatians 5:22 and 23. So on the one hand, when we suppress the work of the Holy Spirit by rebelling against his will for us, we stifle the design of God, sabotage our own spiritual growth, and grieve the Holy Spirit. If God was gracious enough to redeem us from sin and death and give us a new life in Christ, the very least we can do is offer our lives back to him in complete surrender and holiness, which is to our benefit. Because of God's mercies, we should be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. One day in heaven, we will all be free from sin and all its effects. Until then, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and keep running our race. So what hit you about that, any of that?
Well, you know how I am. I have to ruminate over things. But, I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said there, you know. I mean, God knows we're not perfect.
That's right.
And, you know, through our faith, we try to approach that.
Right.
That is, as human beings, we should strive to be as close to God as we can. So, I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about it, but, you know, I'm still kind of thinking of things that you were saying along the way and thinking of how, you know, I would interpret them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it always gives, whenever I'm listening to you do this segment of the show, it's always like I'm taking everything in, and then I find that later, you know, something will kind of ring true. And I always tell you about it like two days later. I'm like, you know, I was thinking about that, and here's what I think. What do you think about what I think?
Yep.
So, I mean, I think it gives me a lot to kind of chew on and think deeply about.
Definitely. And all this to bring us full circle to where we always come back to every single week. It all starts with that point in your life where you are ready to receive and ready to accept and ready to start building and growing that relationship.
Absolutely. And I mean, as someone who came from a background of, you know, I mean, when I was much, much younger, I mean, my parents were definitely, you know, we went to church every Sunday, but I was at an age where what I was listening to was more or less going over my head.
Right.
You know, and my mother was not someone who liked me to question things or wanted me to question what was going on with what we had heard. I was just supposed to accept it. But for me, I'm naturally curious, and I always have questions. They're not meant to be, you know, a slap in the face or anything like that. It's just so that I can get to a point where I'm understanding what the true meaning of what the scriptures are trying to tell me.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that I'm older and I'm able to kind of break that down better for myself, you know, it has become a more important relationship for me. And with all of this craziness that is going on in this world, you know, I know this is not end times, but I think that we are definitely headed in that direction.
Well, I would say nearer to end times. We're not in the period of the rapture and the trials and tribulations.
But I think that the way that things are turning in the world and the more evil that is released into this world and is encouraged in this world, you know, we are up against it. And, you know, if you are just beginning to seek that relationship, or you're not sure which direction you need to turn, you know, you really need to listen to that inner voice in yourself, and you need to actually reach out and pray. And those things that are drawing you away from God will become so much more clear if you can just settle your mind and have an honest conversation with God, because I think that is the best way to communicate, which is you don't have to have that conversation with anybody. You can have that conversation within yourself and listen to what that little voice inside is telling you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just to put kind of a statement along with that of things that go on in this world, you know, the Taliban is looking at the U.S. pullout from Afghanistan as a fulfillment of end times in Islamic prophecy about Jerusalem.
In what respect?
In the respect that, you know, many in the West see the U.S. pullout from Afghanistan as a geopolitical disaster and an epic tragedy for those left behind under Taliban rule. There's a guy named Joel Richardson. He was the author of a book called The Islamic Antichrist. Explained that this Islamic prophecy is so important. This is very important. I, you know, He said, I haven't heard this talked about in the mainstream media at all. If we look at some of the main end time prophecies within Islam, I mean, one of the biggest prophecies, there's a prophecy that says armies carrying black flags will come from the area of the east or Khorasan. So Khorasan is an ancient land that includes modern northwest Pakistan, eastern Iran, and all of Afghanistan. It says that the army will come from Khorasan carrying black flags. And it says, if you see them, give them your allegiance, even if you have to crawl over ice, because this is the army of Madai. Or in English, you can just say the Madai, the vice regent of Allah, is what they're saying, is one of the biggest end time prophecies. Because they're saying this because the Taliban's Twitter page recently carried a message saying black flags will rise from Khorasan and nothing will be able to return them from the Taliban taking over Afghanistan.
But is their flag not black already?
But they're saying their flag coming up, they're saying, I guess this is an all black flag. This is part of their ideology and their religion that they believe in Islam.
Well, then that seems that seems like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. But
you know, if I could say the same thing and go out and buy myself a bolt of black fabric and be like, here I am.
But I'm saying this because there are so many people over there that believe in that religion.
Oh, right.
And what that religion says to follow up on what you're saying about end times. That's what they think about their end times.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is the Taliban is so, frightening.
Yep.
And just barbaric as far as their, I use my air quotes, rule goes. And, you know, if they really wanted to put the fear into people, then to make that prophecy self-fulfilling, mm-hmm, would say something about them.
Yep.
Which is not necessarily true because they want it to be true.
Well, we know this to be true because the Bible is one of the most researched books that have ever been written. And there's been nothing found that can ever say that the Bible's not true. I mean, there's been so much study done on the Bible, and we know it to be the Word of God. And we also know that in order to be accepted as a child of God, you must be born again, because, you know, I don't mix words when it comes to the Bible. The Bible said if a person's only born once of the flesh, they'll die two times. They'll die of this world, and then they'll die spiritually. But if a person's born twice, born again in Christ spiritually, you'll die one death of this world and live spiritually. The only way to start getting there is by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. But acceptance of Christ and in your Lord and Savior and saying I'm saved is simply not enough. You've got to build and grow like we've been talking about over the last few weeks. You've got to cultivate it. It's just like a marriage or anything else. It takes work.
Absolutely.
You got to keep working it.
Yep.
And if you've never said a prayer of salvation, you don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to be at church. You can do it anywhere you are. But it's time to get right. It's time to start getting right if you're not right. And just like last week, it's time to turn up the heat a little bit. If you're lukewarm in your Christian life and you're not growing, the Bible says he will spit you out. It's time to turn up the heat and start building a fire for God. It's time to start growing. It's time to start building and learning, getting in your Bible, getting involved in different things that help people and growing spiritually. But to start that step, you know, there's certain things that you have to do. Like I say, you don't have to be anywhere special. You can do it right here tonight. All you have to do, you have to be willing to admit you're a sinner. You must be willing to turn from sin. And that's what the word repent means from Acts 17:30. You must believe that Jesus died for you, was buried again, and rose again to pay the price for your sin. And you must pray to invite Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior. You can simply say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're on the right steps. You're taking the steps. Find a church, get plugged in, get a Bible. Don't jump to the end and start reading Revelations. You got to understand the beginning to understand the end. You got anything else to say over there tonight?
I want to tell everybody that it's going to be our anniversary this coming Monday.
Oh, yes.
And I just want to let everybody know, especially you, how much I love you.
Oh, goodness gracious alive. You would act like I didn't love her or something.
He's my person, y'all.
You know, one thing we talk about too every week, got to remember to pray.
Absolutely.
Pray for everything that's going on around the country.
Those little Afghan children.
Pray for them. Pray for that they continue to grow and Christ reveals himself to them and makes them, you know, so that they can develop a fuller relationship with him. That is absolutely amazing.
Yes.
What we talked about earlier.
And that they continue to ask where to find him.
That's right. Definitely. Also, remember to pray for your government. No, you don't have to agree with what's going on, but the Bible, you know, does say that we need to pray for our government. And every week I say it, my fervent prayer is that the Lord makes himself real to everybody involved in politics so that they can continue to grow a better relationship with him and make better decisions for everyone.
That in itself would be a revelation.
Definitely. And hey, we appreciate everybody taking time out of their Thursdays to join us or listen to us on a podcast. You know, it's always a good point in our week when we get to do the shows, and we really appreciate you joining us and listening in or listening after. You got any last thoughts?
I have no more thoughts.
No more thoughts. All right, we're going to leave you guys with a little commercial. How to get in touch with us. Please reach out to us. Send us an email. You know, if you got a topic for a show or something that you want to, you know, hear us talk about, you need someone to pray for you, just send us an email, reach out to us. Hope everybody has a good weekend. We'll see you right here next Thursday night.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititalK, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
But I've heard the tender whisper of love. tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.